This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. And we're off.
I was really curious how you were going to start it.
It was actually like instinctual. Just panic. I was like, oh, we're recording. What do I say? Default setting, go.
We're in it.
We're in it. Episode 34.
Do you actually know that that's the episode number?
Oh, I'm confident. I'm confident that that's what I said. I'm fairly confident it's the right number. I think we'll find out.
All right. So what are we talking about?
The same thing we talk about every day, Pinky.
Well, trying to take over the world.
Yeah, the past three episodes. I think you're going to continue your... And this is a very you-focused episode, which has been for a while. But we're going to do your journey, actually. You're going to speak your truth about what it was like to go through in your world and what you did to... I love the different way we say this, to hopify. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, sure.
The responsibilities you had.
Yeah.
And you're going to share it with the class.
And see if any of it's useful. I think this is the end of my list. I don't have any more written down. So unless my memory changes, I have no more ideas to share of what I did, like sort of originally in the early space of hop in my world.
So this is it.
This is it.
So if you have any questions, get them in now.
This is all I got.
We're not coming back.
All right. I have three more things. And these are, just to set the stage for anyone who, this may be the first episode you're listening to, these are integrations of hop concepts or like micro integrations into something in an organization before you have space or buy-in from other people, right? So it's what the things that were actually in my control to change at the time that I learned about the concepts. And I wasn't trying to really convince anyone else to go down this path. I was just trying to figure out how to use the concepts because they felt really important. They felt important in how I was trying to lead and who I wanted to be as a leader. So that was my thought process at the time. It wasn't to try to make everyone think this way.
So you weren't saying, and this is copyright, so I got to make sure mom's going to say it. You weren't saying, hey, I'm going to go through this door to Narnia. Come with me. But what you were doing was you went through the door.
Yes.
And then you came back and you're like, hey, I got some ideas. Let me just tell you one real quick. You do what you want with it.
Yeah.
And then you go back through the door in Narnia. And then it was.
Absolutely.
Until people were like, hey, where are you going? And you're like, hey,
let's step into this
wardrobe
closet.
With me. The closet. There's a thing in there.
Yeah. That's a really good visual of how it was.
It's just a children's book. And it's not a great visual, but it worked, I guess.
And so, so I shared a few of those ideas and then I only have three more that I can remember. The first that I want to talk to is when I started to come back from the wardrobe multiple times at this point.
What have I done?
I wanted, to start to teach a few people about what was in Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep going with this the whole time. But I didn't really have a venue to do that in. And so I started off small. I was partially responsible for doing onboarding of new employees in my own site, at least from the safety perspective. And so a few of the things that I taught anyone who was coming in was black line, blue line. So drawing the black line, drawing the blue line, and explaining that we need procedures. We want procedures. That's what the black line looks like. But also here at this site, we recognize that that's not always what reality looks like. And we're really interested in reality. And we're hoping you're willing to teach us about the reality of what it's actually like to get work done. So if people are asking you about that, or if I'm asking you about that, that's the intent, is just to be able to learn about what you're actually facing, to be able to make improvements. So I would teach that when people came in, which kind of set the stage for, hey, we're a continuous improvement learning place, at least in the safety space, right? Because I didn't have any other you know, places like sandboxes to play in. At that point, it was just, you know, safety was my world.
Yeah. You weren't also running lean.
Correct.
Yeah.
I wasn't like a quality leader. Mm. You know, that was the place that I could have some amount of influence. So I started there. And that seemed to work really well. And so then I was also part of onboarding of, some of the supervisors, like if we had new employees that were going to be part of a leadership team. And so I would also draw black line, blue line. And once again, this is only from the safety space because that's all I had any sort of influence in. And I would talk about Taylorism. I don't think I used the word Taylorism. I think I just talked about it as a parent-child relationship or adult-adult relationship. And I would just say that one of the biggest barriers do we have to be able to listen to what the blue line looks like is if we're picturing the employees that are working for us as children. And so we really want to have adult-adult conversation. And once again, because people were new, that was kind of a nice space to be able to kind of influence that process as people were coming in. Because I presented it as just like, this is how we do it in the safety space here at this location. And since I had some authority, I could say that in that space.
Question.
Yes.
First one. I didn't raise my hand. I should have. But this conversation... How long was it roughly with these?
Oh, so the training was usually like several hours or half a day. That portion of it was, I don't know, 5 minutes.
So how much of the, let's say it's half a day, let's say it's 4 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
How much of that 4 hours was sort of regulated, hey, you need to teach this, and how much liberty did you have? And therefore,
oh, kind of like all of it was, hey, this is how we are going to onboard people into this site. Not that it was necessarily regulated, but a lot of people's input had gone into it and it was a set format. So I didn't have a lot of flexibility. So honestly, there wasn't even a slide on it. I just would use the whiteboard and draw it as I was talking about. If I remember correctly, the place that I would integrate it in is when we were talking about employee concerns, right? So we had a concern reporting system. It was considered a good thing in my world for people to report concerns because then we knew about it. So that was long before HOP concepts. Concerns were considered good things in my organization. So I just kind of took that piece of the puzzle and expanded it. And so when I talked about the concern reporting system from the employee's perspective, I drew the black line, blue line, right? And said, hey, we're super interested in your blue line reality. We'll ask you about it. If you want to tell us about it, great. And then the same thing from the supervisor's perspective, because they were often the ones copied on all the concerns that came in. And so it was just a way to help sort of set the stage for how I was hoping they would receive the information when they got an email to say, you know, quote, our maintenance carts suck. Like that's probably all that might be written in a concern report at some point. What do I do with that information? How do I go have conversation around it?
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think this is, I brought it up because I feel like oftentimes when we get asked questions similarly, hey, I want to bring this back to my organization. The feeling is, so then when I get to do this half-day training, I want to make it all about HOP. Mm. And I think that's where I find that people get bogged down and, well, I'm not allowed to, so then what?
Right, so then I'm stuck, yeah. So now I can't do anything. Yeah. Yeah, it was just a tiny piece of a puzzle just to try to give something that we're already teaching a different color, right, a different perspective to it.
But in their defense, if I went to Narnia... I had to come back and do a training on safety. I'd be like, do you all know what's out there?
That's right. You almost have to hold Narnia back a little bit. Okay. So that was the second time that I tried to integrate this into training. The third time that I can remember is I was asked to help with training for new employees that were going to be in a rotational program for environmental health and safety. So they would have like offsite training where they would all get together. So the people in this program would come together for like a week somewhere. And they were always looking for people to volunteer to help teach some of the curriculum. The curriculum was generally a cross between leadership training and like company specific requirements in terms of like how we manage safety, what does that look like? And then also regulatory space requirements. So you're trying to educate across that spectrum. And so I was asked to help teach a module on leadership within the company. And so I taught it the first time how it was written. Mm-hmm. And then I asked for permission to insert some extra leadership concepts as like a pilot. And the person who is observing me saw it, heard it, and thought it was beneficial. And so I was given permission to do it again. And when I was given permission to do it again, I added a little bit more in the thought process to it. And I was still given permission to do it again. And so then the next time I did it, I added a little bit more to the thought process until they ended up actually spinning off an entire subsection of this week-long training did become specific to HOP concepts. I don't even really remember if we called it HOP, to be honest with you. We might have, but it was all around, right? The idea of learning from the people close to the work and what we do with that information and systems thinking. And yeah, so that one was slowly over time sort of just influencing little by little and just asking for permission for a small piece of a puzzle so that somebody could see a bit of Narnia and then decide if they wanted more. And then if they wanted more, having more.
You know where the wardrobe was.
Okay. I could bring it back to it.
So for the first time we've recorded together.
Yes.
I just went on my phone.
Yeah.
And I know you're concerned. Like
I was. I was very concerned.
And because you do such a good job of trying to put yourself in someone's shoes, like maybe something's wrong.
Yes.
Nothing was wrong. And I didn't go on my phone because I was bored with what you were saying. It was very helpful. I went on my phone to see who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia.
Because you can give credit.
I realized that if we went the whole episode and someone's just like, what are they talking about? It is a series of books written by C.S. Lewis. It started in 1900. Mm-hmm. That's made into multiple movies. It's still popular. The premise basically is that a bunch of kids find a magical wardrobe that they can go into to another universe. That's all you need to know. That's it. But just in case we're making a ton of references.
This episode-long analogy is not hitting with somebody.
Just wanted to throw it out there. I need to give credit to C.S. Lewis for writing it and us talking about it.
Excellent. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Okay. So those were the first three ways that I inserted these concepts in some way into training. And then the fourth way is when I at first probably stepped outside my bounds and then had to wait a little bit. Which
define bounds here.
Meaning what my role was, what influence I actually had, who would be willing to listen to me, the amount of credibility I had. And so up until this point, I think maybe I got like a little cocky because I had been able to, I had been able to influence, right, this EHS onboarding training. And so I wanted the same module to be added to the training that our plant managers had to go through.
In your defense, if you had seen a talking lion and come back, you'd be a little cocky as well.
A little excited. And so I remember, so there was a whole training group, like a group, some of them which were externally employed, like contractors that came in that were fantastic trainers. And some of them had some amount of influence or control over the training curriculum. So they were hired to create basically leadership training. And do it in conjunction with people within the company, but also they had a little bit of space as to add, you know, what they thought was important. And so I happened to be with this training group because I was being trained, right? So they're training me, and I took the opportunity to meet with a couple of the trainers and be like, hey, I have this really important thing that I think should be part of our leadership training for the company. What do you think? And I remember so distinctly their question back to me was, who in the organization gave you authority to decide that this is what people should hear? And I had to say, nobody. I mean, just we're doing it for a small group of new EHS employees, right? So I didn't have an answer to that, nor had anyone given me permission or authority. And I was quickly shut down as to, you know, that was sort of like, that was cute. I don't know where this person is coming from, but they didn't at the time even hear what the concepts were. And
what
I remember
a presumptuous thing to do.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't go to driving school and tell the instructor like, no, I know what you're saying, but actually I think you shifted a little too early in that. You really should let it get to this many RPMs. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hey, good for you though. Way to have that. That's a confidence that not many possess.
So I remember being like, oh, okay, that was too far. Yeah, I probably didn't respect these people's, you know, the fact that they'd worked for years and years and years to be great leadership trainers, which objectively they were, by the way. And so I didn't try that tactic again. what I was able to do is actually several years later, I joined a regional team. And that regional team in environmental health and safety was responsible for doing plant manager training for plant managers in the safety space, right? So the previous grouping, it was like leadership training for everything for the entire organization, right? So way outside of my realm of either expertise or authority or influence. So
just a question.
Yes.
How many steps up the ladder, like were you, far away did you jump
to
make that?
Yeah, probably four.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, maybe five for the person who would actually have the authority to change the leadership training.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just such a good idea. It was Narnia. I wanted to
you gotta believe me. Please believe me.
It's really important. It would, you know. Anyway, so later on when I was in this regional team, there was a lot more like my direct boss and the colleagues, the peers to my direct boss had quite a bit of authority over the training, right? And they worked directly with the training committee that put together all of the material. And then my boss, my boss's peers, and then eventually myself, we were the trainers. And so in that space, I had more authority, or at least influence to suggest that we change it. And so I was able to pitch it there in a way. I mean, basically kind of the same way that I had tried to pitch it earlier, which was just way above my pay grade. But I was able to influence it there. And so that is, I think, the fourth time that I influenced training. But that was over a series of years, right? So I started off at a site level. And so that's that one.
Yeah. And I think the big takeaway from the early part of the story, I think, is we're not trying to change everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
Great movie. See it if you haven't. But we're not trying to say, okay, now that if you're listening and you're like, I love Hop, this is great, I want to bring this modernization. It's not okay. Well, then I can never do what I'm asked to do ever again. I only can do Hop related stuff. You have to live within what's in your control and operate there to start.
Yep.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself, please. We're not advocating for you being like, we're not going to do any sort of regulation training anymore. It's just going to be black line, blue line. Please don't do that. Don't hear that. We're saying.
Okay, so that was idea one. And then I said we were going to do three, but we don't have time for three. So I'm just going to say one more that I think was really useful that I actually had completely forgotten that I had done until a call that we had right before this. And I'll call out, Arliss said something that was amazing that reminded me of this concept. I used to take, so now picture I'm back at a site level, right? So I'm not at a regional level. I'm at a facility. And I used to take old investigations, right? So they were in a system that I could go access them, right? I could access what had happened in the event. I could access, right, the things that we said were causal, like immediate causes, root causes, and the corrective actions, and a bunch of other information. So I used to take old investigations, and then I would go use the same subject and go operationally learn about it. So the only thing I'm asking permission for is to bring a small group of people together. Or if I wasn't even given that permission, I would just go physically to where they were in the plant and have some conversation with them. Or if I wasn't given permission to do that, if we had a standing safety meeting, I would try to figure out who was in that safety meeting that knew and that worked in that area. And I would operationally learn with whatever amount of time I was given, with the hopes that I could then see how vastly different the information was, if at all, from the investigation that we had done on the same process, but a specific event years ago, and see whether or not the solutions that we had put in place had tangibly changed anything, were still in place at all, or even if we had understood enough about how the process was running for those to be effective solution sets. And at first I started off doing that for me only, meaning I wanted to prove to myself that understanding more about the process itself was going to be valuable enough to do it more often because it took a little bit more time. And also I was terrified that if I changed the structure of how I was doing investigations, I would miss some sort of crucial information that was going to be the linchpin of something really important that I needed to know. And I was going to, you know, violate some sort of regulatory requirement and I was going to, you know, somebody was going to get injured from it and it was all going to be my fault because I had not understood this concept well enough. So in order to prove to myself that there was value, I started doing it that way, meaning comparing and contrasting what I would learn from two different methodologies. And it felt very low stakes because the event had already been closed, right? The solution sets had theoretically been put in place. And then when I started to see how much richer the information was and that a significant number of our solution sets either wouldn't have made sense to be put in place if the process was running even close to the way it was that day, right? Or when I was learning about it. Then I started to do it as a way to prove to other people in the future, right? Like create my arsenal of examples of, hey, historically we would have done this in response to an event. How do I know? Because we actually did it, right? Here's the actual information of us responding to it. And then let me tell you the story of what happened when I went and learned about that process specifically and what else we found and what was found that seemingly was incredibly important that we missed the first time, and tell the narrative of those two stories. So that's actually some of the material that I then used later on when I was doing training for folks like within the EHS team, and some of the material that I then used when we got to a place where we were going to rewrite our investigation process at our organization. That material was put into that training for the rest of the organization.
So you had example after example of how we had done it. Mm-hmm. Whether you did it or not didn't matter. You just could say, here's the exact way it went,
yep.
And here's what we did to solve it.
And then when we learned about it differently,
we would not have done what we hoped it would do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have made some people really angry, though, doing that.
Not really. I mean, I made people angry for other reasons, but in that...
I can attest to that. Yeah. I can give first party data.
In that circumstance, not really. Oftentimes because I also picked something right where the... I never said who the individual was that was either there when the investigation was done. And oftentimes I picked things that I personally, maybe not at that site, but somewhere else, had seen something similar and responded in a similar way. Meaning I wasn't trying to throw stones at the way the investigation was originally done. I could absolutely say, yeah, I did something really similar at another place, right? Another site that I worked at. Yeah. So yeah, trying to make it so that it didn't feel as though I'm attacking someone's ability to do an investigation, but just looking at it from a different lens. I suppose I could have done it in a way that absolutely made people mad, but I don't think in reality I had in that circumstance. Now we're going to get a bunch of phone calls of being like, no, 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 no. I remember you doing this and you did make me mad.
She's the worst. But it actually, interestingly enough, I do believe that if anyone should know this, it should be one of us. I do believe that in a prior episode, you gave homework that was to go and look at our old incident investigations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you did your homework, this episode is just perfect. You are so prepared. Thank you.
And I'm going to give homework today. Are you ready for it?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. So as a wrap up to this piece of sort of ideas of what you can do to try to integrate this into some of what you're already doing. I mentioned it, I think, a couple times, but the way that I came up with this original list of places to hopify was by looking at my schedule, like my actual calendar, and writing down the elements that I had to do in a week or in a year that I felt were the most painful or maybe things where I didn't feel like there was real value being added. And then I looked at each of them and said, do I know with my current thought process how to make these better? How do I hopify this in a way that's going to bring more value or change a perspective or give me more information that I can then learn from to make sure that I know how to lead in this direction better in the future? And that's where these original places for ideas came from. And so that is the homework, is to look at your schedule, write down the things that feel lesser of having lesser value that you wish you didn't have to do or you wish was a little bit different, and see if you can brainstorm a way to hopify it.
Okay, so then I have one question. How many points do you give Michelle from our last call?
Oh my gosh, because so many points.
She did that. On her own and then brought it to the call.
So many points.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Well, that's it. I'm not going to say another one in the books, but by saying it, I already said it. Thank you, C.S. Lewis, for giving us the Chronicles of Narnia so we could talk about it all episode. Thank you, Arliss. Thank you, Michelle. And thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, that's it.
Yep. Another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's HOPPODCAST.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.